Let's go to Galatians 3, 1 through 9. Galatians 3, beginning at verse 1. O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth before whose eyes Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed among you as crucified? This only I want to learn from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are you now being made perfect by the flesh? Have you suffered so many things in vain, if indeed it was in vain? Therefore, he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you, does he do it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Just as Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Therefore, know that only those who are of faith are sons of Abraham. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel to Abraham beforehand, saying, in you all the nations shall be blessed. So then, those who are of faith are blessed with believing Abraham. May God bless the reading of his holy word. Our text for this evening is Galatians 3:7. Therefore know that only those who are of faith are sons of Abraham. This text is the biblical equivalent of a stick of dynamite. Sometimes dynamite is placed very carefully near a rock-covered vein of gold. It is then detonated to blast away the worthless rocks, so the vein of gold will be exposed in all its glory. It is then mined in order to enrich the owners. Now there is an absolutely pure vein of gold running through the Bible called justification by faith. By God's grace, the writers of the Westminster Shorter Catechism have correctly understood his word, and in answer 33, they define justification by faith as an act of God's free grace wherein he pardons all our sins and accepts us as righteousness in his sight only for the righteousness of Christ imputed to us and received by faith alone. So here in Paul's letter to the Galatians, we see that the Galatian church had allowed a group of false teachers to cover the pure gold of justification by faith with the worthless rocks of justification by works. Paul is the one who placed and detonated our text in order to blast those worthless rocks of works and uncover the pure gold of justification by faith alone. He did this for the enrichment of the Galatian church and, of course, all believers down through history. Now, there's no way for us to get the full impact of the text without considering the background and context. The therefore tells us this text is based on all that Paul has written up to this point. And we'll just briefly review some background and context. Paul had personally ministered to the Galatian church and clearly preached justification by faith to them. He clearly taught that to be justified by faith was to have God by his own free grace forgive us our sins because of Christ's sacrificial death, and also that God accepted us as righteous in his sight only for the righteousness of Jesus Christ imputed to us and received by faith alone. Now, Paul found out that the Galatian churches had allowed themselves to be influenced by a group of false teachers whom we will call Judaizers. These Judaizers wanted to convince the Galatian church that in addition to putting their faith in Jesus as the Christ, they must follow the same procedure as converts to Judaism. This would mean they would have to be circumcised and observe the Mosaic law and other customs. In other words, they taught faith plus works leads to salvation and not faith alone. The Judaizers also had to attack the legitimacy of the position of Paul's apostleship. They had to do this in order to attack and supplant the gospel that he preached. They attempted to convince the Galatians that Paul was inferior to the original apostles, and so was the gospel he preached. Paul wrote to the Galatians to correct this situation, and our text is placed at a pivotal point in this letter. It comes after Paul's clear defense of his true apostleship and of the truth of justification by faith. But it comes right at the beginning of his presentation of the fact that even Abraham was saved by faith. Now we'll go to our text here and see a little bit more closely. First, Galatians 3:7 may be divided into three sections. Know you therefore that, or for sure. Then second, only those who are of faith. And third, are the sons or the children of Abraham. We're going to also see each section has a twofold thrust. The first thrust will blast away the worthless rocks placed by the Judaizers, and the second thrust will reveal the eternally glorious vein of gold which has been taught by the Apostle Paul in the true gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, our first section tells us, therefore, know that, or know for sure. The therefore in this section is pointing back to the basis of our knowing for sure that all of Galatians 3:7 is true. Paul's establishment of his true apostleship and the gospel that he preached is central to that basis. Paul told them in chapter 1, verse 1, just exactly who called him to be an apostle. When he says, Paul, an apostle, not from men, nor through man, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead. On the basis of this authority given to him by Jesus Christ, Paul proceeds to admonish the Galatian Christians for moving from the only true gospel. Then, on the basis of the same authority, Paul proceeds to blast the Judaizers with some of the most fearful words in the Bible. And we see these fearful words in Galatians 1, 6 through 9. And notice, if you read the beginnings of Paul's letters, Romans, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, and so on, very often he begins with, we've heard of your faith. We've heard good reports. We've on and on and on. But Galatians is different. In verse 6, this is what Paul starts saying to them. I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is not another, but there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what you have received, let him be accursed. That means accursed by God. So here we see the Judaizers' authority completely destroyed, and they themselves pronounced accursed by the Apostle Paul. In the words of our text, Paul lets us know for sure that these Judaizers and their message was accursed. This is the first thrust of this section of our text. The second thrust is that we can know for sure what Paul is telling us is true because his apostleship is from Christ and the original apostles. Paul gives an extensive defense of his true apostleship in chapter 1 and 2. But we need only look at chapter 2, verse 9 to see that the original apostles at Jerusalem recognized Paul as their equal. And there we read, "And when James, Cephas, and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that had been given to me, they gave me and Barnabas the right hand of fellowship, that we should go to the Gentiles and they to the circumcised. They desired only that we should remember the poor, the very thing which I was also eager to do." Here we see Paul pointing to only those who are of faith, in contrast to the Judaizers who would be those who are of works. In chapter 1, verse 7, Paul blasts their gospel by saying that it's not another gospel, but it is a perverted gospel. But in chapter 1, verses 11 and 12, Paul establishes the authority he has for his gospel, where he says, "But I make known to you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached by me is not according to man, for I neither received it from man, nor was I taught it, but it comes through the revelation of Jesus Christ." Paul's gospel was clearly from Christ. Paul also gives an example of his use of apostolic authority when he had to correct Peter for not living his life in accordance with the gospel of grace in chapter 2. So we see that when Paul tells the Galatians to therefore know for sure, he's telling them to disregard the Judaizers who pervert the gospel and listen to him, for he is a true apostle preaching the true gospel of Christ. And I don't know if you noticed in the Galatian 1 passage in 6 through 9, he actually even says to them, if we come back and preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached, we should be accursed. He even talks about himself. So it's a very powerful message he's preaching here. So in the first section, Paul destroys the Judaizers' authority and establishes its own authority. Next, in this second section, Paul destroys the Judaizers' gospel and establishes Christ's gospel. And we can see this in chapter 2, verse 16, where we read, "Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith in Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by faith in Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law, no flesh shall be justified. So again, Paul has established the doctrine of justification by faith as the true gospel of Jesus Christ. And one would think he would stop there, but he doesn't. He now appeals to the Galatians' own personal experience in chapter 3, in verses 2, 3, and 5. He says, "This only I want to learn from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are you now being made perfect by the flesh? Have you suffered so many things in vain? Indeed, if it was in vain? Therefore, he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you, does he do it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith?" The obvious answer to these questions is not by the works of the law, but by faith. Paul calls them to examine themselves. He tells them the doctrine is clear, and you should examine your experience in the light of this doctrine. Make sure you are not of those who are of the works of the law. Make sure you are among those who are of faith. And this brings us to the last section of our text, and that only those who are of faith are sons of Abraham, for the same are sons of Abraham. Up to now, we've seen the authority of the Judaizers blasted away in the first section and Paul's apostolic authority established. We have seen the false gospel of the Judaizers blasted away in the second section and Christ's gospel established. Finally, in this last section, we will see the Judaizers' natural descendancy from Abraham blasted away, and the scriptural and spiritual descendancy of those who are of faith established. Paul knows that these Judaizers were very proud of their natural descendancy from Abraham, the father of the Jews. And they thought because they were his natural seed and had been circumcised, they were closer to Abraham than the Gentile Christians in Galatia. They needed a lesson in Old Testament exegesis, and Paul gives it to them. In Galatians 3:6, Paul cites Genesis 15:16, when he says, "Just as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness." He then gives us an explanation of what this means in our text, in verses 8 and 9, where he says, "Therefore, only those who are of faith are sons of Abraham." And the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith preached the gospel to Abraham beforehand, saying, "In you all the nations shall be blessed." So then, those who are of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. Abraham trusted in God's mercy to get him to heaven, and so must those who are his true sons, his true children. So here we see Paul blasting the Judaizers at their roots. It was Abraham's faith in God's promise that saved him and not his circumcision. Abraham's faith, by God's grace, was the true basis of the covenant with God. And so now it is all those who have their faith in Jesus. It's true. Same thing. Jesus Christ is that promised seed of Abraham, and it is only those who are in Christ by faith who are the seed of Abraham too. Since the Judaizers added circumcision, law, and ritual to faith, they could no longer be considered sons of Abraham. So the last few worthless rocks of justification by works have just been blasted away by the Apostle Paul. And just so there's no mistake about the Judaizers' destruction and the establishment of justification by faith, let's read chapter 3, verses 10 and 11, where it says, "For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, 'Cursed is everyone who does not continue in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them.' But that no one is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, for the just or the justified shall live by faith." Praise God. In verse 24, of course, that famous classic verse, verse 24 is the one that, that tell us? The law was our schoolmaster to lead us to Christ, to be saved by faith in him. And of course, we know, it says that you have to keep all the law if you're going to be justified by the works. Only one person did that, Jesus. He did everything contained in the law, and he always did it with the right attitude. That's very significant. We forget that. The glory of God. It wasn't just obedience, some sort of rote obedience, but always with the right attitude, God's glory. And so he could be the perfect sacrifice. Only he could die for our sins. Faith in his works. He takes our sins. We receive his righteousness. And it's all by faith in him. Praise God. We know the truth. And the truth has set us free. Brothers and sisters, if you know these things, you're blessed. Only God could reveal them to you. And I hope tonight you rejoice in how blessed you are. You know the truth. And again, the truth has set you free. So now we see that pure vein of gold, justification by faith, shining forth in all its glory. The Judaizers attempted to hide it, but God raised up Paul to blast away these worthless teachings and their confidence in being Abraham's physical children. Paul was also raised up to establish God's truth and to cover up those among the Gentiles who knew they were justified by faith, and who knew they were Abraham's spiritual children, even if they weren't born physically of Abraham. And what about you tonight? Are you sure that you're trusting that Jesus Christ suffered and died for your sins to satisfy God's justice on your behalf? Are you sure that you're trusting that God sees you as righteous in his sight only for the righteousness of Jesus Christ imputed to you? Are you sure that you see your obedience to the law of God now as an evidence of your salvation and not as the basis of it? Evidence. If you love me, Jesus said, you'll keep my commandments. If you are not sure, repent of your sin and trust in Jesus Christ alone as your Savior and Lord. Put your faith in his works alone to save you. May God have mercy in you, give you his grace to see this truth and to embrace it. If you are sure, then praise God for his grace and making you one of his children, one of the children of Abraham too, and giving you eternal life. And finally, if you are sure, then serve God, realizing that God has raised you up at this time in history for a purpose. You cannot be an apostle like Paul. The apostles were foundational. The foundation has been laid. We don't have any more apostles, even though you may see churches where someone says apostle so-and-so or apostle this and that. No, biblically, it's not possible anymore. You can't be an apostle like Paul. And you may not be a Luther or a Calvin or a Knox or a Machen, but you must keep the worthless rocks of false teachers from covering the pure gold of justification by faith in Jesus Christ. That's right. You need to stand up and defend the truth. You too must be willing to say with Paul, therefore, know for sure that only those who are of faith are the children of Abraham. Let's pray. We praise you for your marvelous word, how clear it is, Lord. Holy Spirit, thank you for the Apostle Paul and how you inspired him to write your very word. Oh, how wonderful. Thank you, Lord, that you made it so clear through him. Thank you that we could embrace this wonderful truth that we're saved by grace alone, by faith alone, by you and Lord, you Lord Jesus alone, and only you. Bless us now as we leave this church building, that we'll go out into the world and this terrible place of darkness that seems to get darker and darker day by day. Enable us to be light in the darkness, that we may witness and souls may be saved through us, Lord, through this congregation, and that we would all be built up in the faith. Use us to build one another up in the faith. And we pray that you'll add to the number too, Lord, other faithful people seeking to worship you in spirit and truth. And we pray that you would come soon, Lord Jesus, and pray in your precious name. Amen.